And I'm also looking at water as far as how what the changes are in water. And you said that there's not a lot of potable water here, and that's what's going to limit. Do you ship water or haul water in? Or?
No, we have wells, but they're not. They won't sustain a lot of people. You know, like the well that comes to my house here will pump maybe 2 to 3 gallons a minute. And, you know, that's just barely enough for a household or two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, further north and further west around Tucumcari, there's more water. And we've got like that could probably be developed through. And it's being developed right now. More and more houses are moving in there, big development. There could be. It'd take quite an investment, though.
And then, you know, are there any other trends that are coming in from, like, nationally, like, other things that people are doing with, or that, you know, trends that are coming in with as far as cattle and the market that maybe ranchers are being pushed into?
Well, right now, the big issue right now is corn prices. The corn prices have nearly doubled, and this is due to the, you know, probably the ethanol boom, which is based on something that's it takes more energy to produce a gallon of ethanol than what you get out of it, and it's mainly a political thing, as far as I'm concerned. I just don't believe you eat your food. You put food in your gas tank. That's what you're doing. And I don't think it's sustainable at all. I don't know the answer to the so-called energy crisis, but that's not it. I'm a firm believer in that. And what this is doing, and if it continues, if corn prices stay so high, then it's going to take longer and longer to get our beef to the table. And which probably isn't a bad thing, because it's going to, really, the cattle should spend more and more time on grass instead of in the feed yard. But as long as corn is cheap, it's, you know, they can gain so much faster on it and everything. You know, corn's a grass. It's like feeding them grass, but it's more concentrated. It's higher energy and everything. And you can grow them out faster. But I'm looking at probably if corn stays so high, we'll probably keep our calves longer and longer on grass, yeah, or wheat pasture or whatever, which, that's not a bad thing. But it's going to make beef more expensive, which will, you know, if our economy stays good in the U.S., people, you know, it doesn't take much out of their income as far as food does. But if it starts crashing or something, then it'll reduce our demand considerably.
Okay. And then in the area, I was talking to somebody and he was talking about the dairy farms and a lot of people are coming in from California and buying the dairy farms, and then once the Lala's gone, they'll be going to someplace else. Like that, you know. Do you see anything with, you know, with other?
That concerns me. The Ogallala's been a concern of everybody around here for a long time. I remember back when I was in college, I did a research study on what would happen to the irrigated acres if, you know, natural gas prices went way up, if there started reduction in the water table and whatever. It becomes more and more expensive to get it out. And that's what's happened, is it really didn't pay to irrigate wheat or corn at those prices for a long time. But it does pay to irrigate to feed the dairy cows. And so it's just a natural thing. But as time goes on, it becomes more and more expensive to get that water out. Then they'll have to find they'll have to either truck their feed in or move somewhere else. But again, the dairy situation, I think, is related to more to suburban Crete than mine, because, you know, most of them come from California. They can sell their land for who knows what. And they come down here with pockets full of money. I mean, they build these houses that are unbelievable. So, you know, they got a pocket full of money from selling their land there. And this land is relatively cheap. I mean, really cheap to them compared to there. And so the cost of production has gone down quite a bit. So that's, you know, it's just a natural thing. You move to where you have the best competitive advantage.
That's really, so yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I was looking at, just, you know, nationally, what's coming in nationally, and that, just like you're saying, it's maybe not a trend in agriculture per se, or like chemicals or anything. It's just that land is so much more expensive in other places.
Right.
And they're coming here because it's not so expensive.
Right. I mean, how can you afford to have dairy cows on a place that's worth $10,000-$12,000 an acre when you can get it here for $1,000? You know, they're just being smart. You know, I can't blame them for doing it.
Right.
And this brought a lot of jobs to around the Clovis area, and it hasn't necessarily been a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But like I say, the water's the big thing here. Mm-hmm. We'll just see how far it goes. I don't know. Supposedly the Ogallala recharges a little bit, but I don't know how fast. Yeah. Nobody does.
Right. Everything that I've been reading sounds like it's pretty slow.
Yeah, it's pretty slow. And it's shrunk in size, and you have to go deeper. They're looking at maybe running a pipeline from Ute Lake and all, but it's still, we're in the desert here, on the edge of the desert anyway. I mean, we get around 16 inches of rain a year. In the last 4 or 5, we probably hadn't had that much in the last 4 or 5. Last year, about July, it started raining good, but before that, it was, the last 4 or 5 years have been really dry. So it's been tough to, we've, a lot of reduction in cattle in this area, and it's just now coming back. So we'll see how long that lasts.
And